on purpose this morning. And remember, James tells us that faith without works is dead. So in this passage also, God is saying, live this way if you're a follower of Jesus. And it also reminds us to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So it's pretty. This is a very intense passage, which I think there's about 12 directives in it, but it really can set us free by pointing us to the person of Christ and how he can live this way in our hearts. About once a week, a Christian is going to experience fights, quarrels, and battles within. Unless you're a monk somewhere and you go hide to live all by yourself. I remember one time in seminary, our assignment was to be at a retreat center and don't talk to anybody for about 3 hours. And all of a sudden, I found myself, you know, wanting to gab. But you would think I would not quarrel or fight with anybody at that point. But I found myself fighting in my own soul with the teacher. What kind of assignment is this? Fighting with the Lord. When is noon coming around? I'm hungry. And all those things. So it wasn't necessarily just individuals on the outside, but it was something going on the inside that caused much of my fights and quarrels and battles within. Early Christians had that experience on a regular basis, which is why James writes to them. And God helps us face this in James chapter 4. Right off the bat, if you can just take a direction from God's word in the midst of your own fights, quarrels, and battles within. If you can possibly, with the Lord's help, take loving actions towards those that are most agitating to you, that is, you find yourself in a fight or a quarrel, you know, it even comes from a battle within. If you could take loving actions towards that person, that's going to go a long ways in you submitting to God and finding His strength and peace in the midst of the conflict that you are in. So tuck that away in the back of your soul. Who are you most agitated with, even if it's your own self? Then the most loving thing I could do is turn to Christ. Or if I'm agitated at another person, take loving actions towards them, even when you don't feel like it. So obey God when you don't feel like it. When you do this, you'll be living out the gospel, because when we were still sinners, if we were at the cross, we were yelling at Jesus, what are you doing there? Come down from there. We don't think you're the Messiah. He expressed loving actions towards us. So that'll just be a way to honor Him. And at that point, believe it or not, you're not there for your reputation. You're not there to straighten out the other guy. You're there to show the love and character of Christ in the midst of fights, quarrels, battles within, which, again, early Christians had them. They become quite popular in our culture, but God has a plan. And He doesn't look at fights, battles, and quarrels as a great lifestyle. Okay, He knows that we will at times feel those when we stand for the truth and the grace of Christ and the gospel. That's to be expected. But James here is talking about the fights, battles, and things within that happen because we're being self-oriented, we're being selfish. And if you could think of the battles or quarrels or fights you've been in recently, I would venture to say that probably most of them have to do with selfishness, and most of them were not because you were standing up for Jesus with the grace and respect of the Lord there. So, to face that in our own soul, one Bible teacher says about this passage, the Holy Spirit really confronts us with a conflict resolution plan. And he called it the powwow conflict resolution plan. The Holy Spirit does the pow, and we do the wow. Okay, and here's the pow. According to God, when we have fights and quarrels and battles within our soul, They most probably come from these factors in our lives. And we're just going to go through the verses here. Verse 4 probably means you're cheating on God spiritually. You're wedded to Him. Your faithfulness is to be toward him. And now all of a sudden, it's toward a false god that you're kind of holding as important, whether that's yourself or something else. You're cheating on God. Verse 4, you have a hatred toward God. And that leaks out toward others. You're becoming an enemy of God. You're basically into the world's dog-eat-dog thing, friendship with the world. Okay, James is saying, it's not just fights and quarrels and battles within. There's something going on between you and God here. Verse 6, you're being sinfully proud. Verse 7, you're not submitting to God. You're not resisting the devil. You're jumping in the fray. Verse 8, you're failing to come near to God. I look at my own life, some of the fiercest battles and quarrels I've had. It took me a while to draw near to God. It was like he was not in the picture. In fact, even when there's battles within our souls, some of the most fierce fights, quarrels, and battles might be between you and God himself. And he's not going to back off on that. And he's not lost a battle or a quarrel. So the sooner you and I say, I think I should trust you at this point, the better we're going to be able to follow him. So that's the confrontation the Lord gives. The wow that we say is this: oh my, I thought the quarrel I had with my family member was just about them being wrong again. But here I discover, could be a reflection of me cheating on God, me being an enemy of God, me just being stubbornly, sinfully proud. Man. And James says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Answer, your desires that battle from within. There's something off in our relationship with God. Christian brother and sister who are younger are having supper around the family table. Representing this passage, the sister says to the younger brother, aren't you going to finish your macaroni and cheese, your yellow macaroni and cheese? And the brother says, I don't know if I'm going to finish it. Besides that, it's not yellow, it's orange. And the sister says, oranges are orange. It's yellow macaroni and cheese. Are you going to finish it? The brother says, you think you're smarter than me, don't you? The sister says, nobody even likes you. Why don't you get away from the table? They have a chip on their shoulder. Not just toward the macaroni and cheese, but toward each other and toward God. They really haven't talked to the Lord lately. And so, or submitted to him. And so it begins to be reflected in a lifestyle that's not honoring to God. Prayerful submission to God. Okay, Lord, I'm going to align myself under your authority. Conquers prideful sin. Okay, and can bring God's way to the fights, quarrels, and battles within that we have. One Bible teacher put it this way: happy, holy submission to God, this is a toughie, is revealed in submission to others. Happy, holy submission to God is revealed in submission to others. You have passages that say, align yourself to help another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, under the yielding to another person. Here's examples one Bible teacher gave, which I found practical, helpful, and convicting. When a child is told, please go clean your room now, and the child goes to the room, slams the door, throws his clothes in the closet loudly, stomps back down the stairs and says, I did what you told me. Okay, that child is not being submissive to God. It's not just a parent thing at that point. When a husband is loud and sarcastic and demanding to his wife, he does not submit to God. He's off at that point. When a wife is sulking or nagging, or always has to have the last word, she does not submit to God. Her life is going out of balance at that point. When a Christian rolls his eyes or shakes his head at his boss or at his church elders, He is not submissive to God. He's saying, I will not, out of respect for God, align myself to what God has put in my life. When a Christian is told by his neighbor, hey, your tree's hanging on my property, all the branches are falling down, almost hit my dog, and I'm afraid they're going to hit my children. And when the Christian says, I'll call the tree guy today and let you know when he's coming, because I'm concerned about that too, he is submitting to God. And he is being humble. He is loving his neighbor as himself. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Remember, happy, holy submission to God is revealed in submission to others. In my devotional closet, it feels so good to submit to God. Thank you, Lord, you have the wisdom. Thank you, Lord, I can thank you and praise you. But in submission to others, it's really like, why? You see all the flaws and all the reasons not to. But really, it's an opportunity to say, I will follow God in this instance as a way to honor Him and as a way to obey Him when I don't feel like it. Submit to God. Resist pride, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A missionary leader said this about missionary candidates going to the field. He said, I will not appoint a missionary who has not wrestled with his own sinful pride. Because if he has not wrestled with his own sinful pride, he will wrestle with his fellow missionaries. And you know, you could think, are you the person who's always, you find yourself in a spat with your neighbor, with the people at work, with your brother and sister in Christ, with your family? Your biggest problem is submitting to God. It really is. If you're standing up for the Lord and His righteousness, put it this way. You're going to be so thankful that you're serving God that way, nobody will even notice that you're, you know, having conflicts and problems. And a great source of submitting to God, James tells us early, is to pray. You have not because you ask not. That's in the context of there's fights, quarrels, turmoil within. You have not because you ask not. Ask for a submissive heart to God, knowing we don't have that naturally. I find in my life, if I'm fighting and quarreling with a person, if I pray for them, my blood pressure goes down, and the conflict I have with that person is managed much better. It's put under God's direction, and it really helps. And if the Lord leads you and I to have the guts to pray with the person directly who we have a conflict with, well, then that's the double blessing. Having a conflict with a person, hey, I happen to be a Christian. You know what? How about if you and I pray about this? You're submitting to God and you're interceding. You're drawing near to God and then He draws near to you and that person. And when you pray, don't pray a sermon. You know, don't say, Lord, please help this brother of mine realize the ridiculousness of his ways and help him to follow me as soon as possible. That is not a prayer looking for God's work in your life. Some great prayers in the Bible that God responded to. You might say, these prayers get answered with God's help. Number one, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, boy, when an open heart prays that, in Luke 18, when an open heart prays that, they are at peace with God. Great prayer to pray. When you find yourself fights, quarrels, battles within, just recognize your own fallibility in the whole situation. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God will come and help, you know, with peace, strength. Another prayer, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you want it to look like Jesus is reigning right here on earth when you're having this everyday fight, quarrel, and battle within. that does happen. Another one from the Psalms. Lord, give me an undivided heart. I don't want to cheat on you, Lord, by the way I handle this situation. Because your pride is going to say, I will straighten it out and I will have everything go the way I think it should go. But you want to say, Lord, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Lord, I want to treat this situation as if I was right in heaven today. And the Lord can pull it off. I went to a meeting one time. I don't know if I shared it here, but I was one of the people in the fight. It was like a tag team match. Only there were four views coming into this meeting. And I was at odds with these three, and these three were at odds with each other and with me. I went into that meeting. I actually told somebody, I said, unfortunately, in almost a flippant way, I'm going to see how God straightens this one out. It's like I'm expressing my doubt to him. And I knew some of those people were praying, as was I. So we go into this meeting, and it was amazing. Within an hour, God had set my heart right with him and right with the others. The second one, right with him and right with everybody else. The third, the fourth. And if I were to try to explain to you how he did it, I would say, I don't know. But he really worked. When we simply said, how about if we try to follow God at this point? Everybody said, yeah, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give me an undivided heart, single-minded to serve him. Even when we know we're not submitting to God, we're more prideful than humble. James says, at that point, you can even express your own sadness about that whole matter, just toward yourself, says in verse 9, grieve, mourn, and wail. And you're supposed to be grieving, mourning, and wailing, not about the dumbness of the other guy, but about your own soul. Okay. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Don't make it your life's verse, but put it as a practice for yourself. It could be a verse to hang in the toddler room, right? In the church. Grieve, mourn, and wail. What happens when you take something special away from the toddler? Whether it's mom or dad goes out the door or little Buzz Lightyear. They grieve, they mourn, and they wail. Something precious is gone. What does the Christian do when they sense, I am not close to God? The right response is, he's my loved one. Ah. I grieve, I mourn, I wail. Oh, I know he wants to be close to me. He wants me to draw near to him. And it's great to talk to the Lord with that dependent heart. Closeness to God, only a prayer away, as someone said. Andrew Murray, who taught a lot on prayer, said, what you are on your knees before God is what you are and nothing else. You want to know the real you? Sometimes you get confused. This is my Sunday morning you, and this is my Monday morning me. But to say with before God in prayer, that's who I really am. What am I talking about? What am I listening for? Am I open-hearted before him, or am I trying to direct that relationship also? And in staff devotions, Shelley Prindle shared a illustration on prayer that I think she shared with the gals at a retreat. And I was going to say, I worked on this for about 4 or 5 hours and put it all together, but actually she's the one who did this. This is a picture of life under the Lord. He's over the whole universe. He's directing things. You got the earth, you got the galaxies, you got the universe. And he's saying, yep, I got the whole world in my hands. There it is. And we begin to have concerns in our lives that are pretty critical. Shelley, I don't know if this is how you did it, but this is the way I'm going to do it. You know, one of those dots represent what your relationship with the Lord is. Let's say, you know, you're barely in touch with reality in terms of him. So family life, your health, your work, other things that are happening, and you say, how? It just seems like a bunch of billiard balls going every which way. My only way to live is I get up in the morning, work hard as I can, go to sleep at night and have a measure of sleep, and then start the whole thing over again. Well, God would say, I'm a part of this picture here. So in our prayer life, we say before the Lord, Lord, in the morning I lay my request before you. Psalm 5, verse 3. I cry out to you. I say, Lord, these are the things in my life that I want to submit to you. My relationship with you, work life, family life, recreation, health, everything. I put it under your feet, Jesus. I'm so glad to put them there, and I'm so glad you're even interested in what in the world's going on. And so we pray, and the Lord being gracious, and what he does, he says, I'm going to at least let you see these things as honoring me. The whole thing. You might not see them all, but I want you to know I'm working. I'm working in an orderly manner to honor my name and to help the health of your soul because you're submitting to me. And it might still feel like it's chaotic, but for the Lord, he's saying, I'm lining it up to push have myself be known, even in the fights, quarrels, and battles within. Since you're going to have them, the point of James is not, you're never going to have fights, quarrels, and battles within if you follow Jesus. I think the point is you'll have them line up and you'll walk through them in a Jesus way to honor him. So thank you, guys, and thank you, Shelley, for that. Lord, in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And a great promise that God gives in the midst of all that we experience there. Again, am I cheating God? Am I an enemy of God the way I treat others? Due to fights and quarrels I have come from within my soul? God can set you free of that. And the great thing, he'll have you doing fights and quarrels for things that concern him. Not messing around with your little puny world. You'll be on board with the things that is important to the Lord's kingdom. And the great promise of God, closing in Deuteronomy, take it for your own soul. The Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray. To say, Lord, as an act of honor to you, enjoyment of you, and submission to you, I pray. And I bring these fights, quarrels, and battles within before you. And you might not even feel better for a while to take a realistic view of it. You might say, I still feel restless. Keep doing what God wants you to do, whether the feelings come or not. Because you'll be in a safe place then. Well, at least I'm surrendered to God. It still feels like, I'm losing my mind. But the Lord is not going to lose me. So I'm happy about that. So get that prayerful submission to conquer sinful pride. And let's pray.